Our lesson for today is the gospel lesson, so I would ask you to please stand out of reverence for the gospel. Recorded in Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, it's on page 967 in our pew Bibles, the ministry of John the Baptist. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he of whom he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is the word of the Lord, and let us pray. Lord Jesus, John the Baptist announced that you would baptize with the Holy Spirit, and so we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us this day. Guide my lips to speak your truth, to comfort your people. Open our hearts to hear and believe. Amen. Please be seated. John the Baptist's message, in fact, Jesus' message, is summarized in this simple statement: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." It's a simple statement, but it uses a term that is difficult to understand. What is the kingdom of heaven that has come near as John the Baptist and as Jesus begin their ministries? Well, first of all, the kingdom of heaven is a synonym for the kingdom of God. In Matthew's gospel, he uses kingdom of heaven 30 times. In fact, he is the only gospel writer who uses that term, kingdom of heaven. Luke and Mark, wherever Matthew uses kingdom of heaven, they use the term kingdom of God. Perhaps that's because Matthew was writing to people of Jewish origin. And when they thought of the kingdom of God, they thought of territory. Oh, for the good old days under King Solomon, when our nation was a great empire, a great extent of a kingdom. And so when they heard the term kingdom of God, they were looking forward to territory that would be controlled by God's people now and perhaps in a millennial future. And so Matthew, as he writes, uses a term that helps us understand that whenever the Bible talks about kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God, it's not talking about territory here on earth. It's talking about wherever the king reigns. And I'm using a stained glass window from a church that pictures King Solomon as the ideal king. His name means peace, shalom. And this is the way King Solomon's kingdom was described, and it perhaps aptly describes what the kingdom of heaven is like for us. 1 Kings chapter 4 writes, in 1 Kings chapter 4 we read, During Solomon's lifetime, Judah and Israel lived in safety, everyone under their own vine and under their own fig tree. Solomon's kingdom was not great because it was so large. It was great because it was a time of safety for God's people. And that's what the kingdom of heaven that was coming near as Jesus begins his ministry, as John the Baptist begins his ministry. The greatness of the kingdom of heaven is the whole idea of safety. And that if we have this safety of the kingdom of heaven, it is enough. It's all we truly need. Think about what it is when the king of heaven dwells with us. What's the safety that we have? We have safety in his mercy. If you are joining with us and reading through Luke, and by the way, if you're not getting those emails and would like to join us, just make sure that your email is on the connection card, and you'll start to get a chapter a day as we read through the Gospel of Luke during the month of December. But yesterday, we saw the king's mercy. That when a sinful woman came into the house, Jesus didn't withdraw, but he showed mercy to her. She who has been forgiven much loves much. Especially at this season of Christmas, as we think about all the things that we're supposed to do, and the more things that we're supposed to do, the more times we'll have to admit we have failed, that we've disappointed somebody, and the more sense that we get that we feel like we've disappointed somebody, the more often our sinful nature shows itself in perhaps anger and impatience and frustration, and the people around us suffer, and God's name is dishonored because of us. Remember, then in the kingdom of heaven, the King of heaven came to show us mercy. All of those sins, whatever it is, has been forgiven. We enjoy safety in this kingdom because of the King's protection. And that's enough. The King who has the power to still the storm in today's reading in Luke, who has the power to raise the dead, he has the power to watch over us and help us through whatever crisis, whatever issue we are facing this Christmas season that Satan wants to use to bring us down and rob us of joy. In the kingdom of heaven, we have the safety of the King's wisdom. Because we know that this King of mercy and power is not always going to keep us from suffering. In fact, if you know how John the Baptist's ministry continues on, you know that the King's protection doesn't mean everything's going to go easy. Very shortly after Jesus arrives on the scene, John the Baptist is put in prison, and then he's beheaded. And there are times when John the Baptist perhaps asks questions. He sends his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come? Are you the king?" And Jesus points to the miracles as evidence that I am the one you're looking for. Even though you don't understand how I am using my mercy and power in your behalf, trust my wisdom. And that's the safety that you and I have. For many of you, this is a tough time of year because it is a time when you remember especially some of the difficult sadness of the past year that all comes back. And it's a time when it's easy to question, is the king ruling? And you can find safety in his wisdom, that our king knows what is best. His power is unlimited. His mercy for you is unquestioned. And so we can trust his wisdom. Because We also know that the safety of the kingdom lies in this, that he has an eternal plan for us. This king lives forever. And because of that, you and I are going to live forever. Any suffering, any pain that we're enduring is temporary compared to the eternity that we're going to enjoy in the kingdom of heaven. You see, the kingdom of heaven is ours right now, because the king is reigning in our lives and in our hearts. It's just that when we get to heaven, we are going to see it more clearly. The kingdom of heaven is enough. It's all we really need. But not everybody receives that kingdom of heaven. The key to receiving the kingdom of heaven is this whole idea of repentance. Now, what does repent mean? The classic definition of repent is a change of mind about your sins, a change of mind about your Savior. I'd like to use just a little different picture to help us understand this idea of repent. You see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came out to Jesus, and he was offering them an absolutely full life. Now, I'm using milk as a picture of the full life, the safety that we have in the kingdom of heaven. I'm using that of milk because the Old Testament lesson ends with the idea of when the Savior rises as a banner to the peoples, and his resting place will be glorious. The resting place, that's a term that's used in the Old Testament for the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. So all those promises of the King of Heaven that we have. Let's just picture it as this milk that's just, it's filled to the brim. Our lives are filled to the brim. It's enough. That's all that we need. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they come out and they really don't need what Jesus has to offer. You see, in their minds, their lives are already filled to the brim. You know, John the Baptist says, you know, you'll claim, oh, we have Abraham as our father. We have everything that we need. We don't need the promises of some king who comes. And if our lives are filled like this, if we approach God with the idea that somehow it all depends on us, and that if we do all the right things, then we are going to find contentment, then our lives are filled like the Pharisees. And what happens when the king comes to somebody whose life is already filled with your own efforts to be enough? Well, let's just try to see what happens. Ooh, doesn't that look good? Want some? No. You see, when your life is already full, the promises of the Savior just don't have room. So what's the solution? Some would say that because I can't find contentment in this life, because I'm never enough, and especially at Christmas time, I'm never enough, I can never do enough, maybe the solution is simply to throw my life away. After all, maybe it's just that my life is ruined. Is that why there are so many people who commit suicide, who are thinking about suicide at this time of year? Is that why maybe people are throwing their lives away because they are indulging in behaviors, sinful patterns, that they're seeking to solve and relax and ease the pain in their hearts? Maybe that's some of you right now. Alcohol, sexual immorality. Is that the solution? Let's just throw our lives away. We're just junk anyway. whole point of Christmas is that we are infinitely precious. So precious that the King would reach down into our garbage, pull us out, clean us up, and then fill us again with His mercy that forgives every sin, that fills us again with His promise of protection, and the reminder of His incredible wisdom, and ultimately of eternal life. The problem isn't the cup. The problem is what we fill our lives with. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time believing and living with this truth, that the kingdom of heaven is enough. And so the solution is to empty ourselves. Whatever we have been filling our lives with, trying to find contentment and satisfaction, let's just empty it. That's what we do in the confession of sins. Now, I appreciate the Apostle Paul's description of the sinful nature, especially this middle section, because as I think about the sinful nature, how often it doesn't it show itself in these kind of things, especially at Christmas, when the pressure is on to perform. When the pressure is on and we fail, it's easy to get angry, to treat each other with hatred. There's discord in families, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, and envy. If you're struggling to see that the kingdom of heaven is enough, let's go back to passages like this and empty ourselves of our pride and arrogance and just admit that we have this sinful nature and let the King fill us with His mercy and power and wisdom and protection. The key to knowing I am enough is emptying ourselves, repent, and claiming again God's forgiveness. And where the kingdom of heaven is present, the Holy Spirit is powerfully working in us. That's what John says near the end of the gospel lesson. He says, "But after me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." You are baptized with the Holy Spirit. In that same section in Galatians where the Apostle Paul talks about the power of the sinful nature in us, he talks about the power of the Holy Spirit in us to create fruit. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as we're preparing for Christmas, and you start to see some of these fruits of the Spirit get diminished in your life because of the incredible pressure to get everything done, then I would encourage you, pause and empty yourself and recognize it doesn't all depend on you. The Christmas is all about the King of Heaven has come, and that if we have the kingdom of heaven, his forgiveness, his power, his wisdom, and a life that will never end, all the stuff that doesn't get done doesn't really matter. The kingdom of heaven, it's enough. Amen.